Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. If you didn't listen to the extra episode, we are a three-man team today.
Yep, just red, blue, and pink.
Sound so enthralled.
Though I've been feeling a little more blue lately.
Ooh, Power Rangers movie was good. Moving on.
Watch our video.
Okay, so this week we're talking about X8 episode 23.
Yet another reason Lane's feeling blue.
Nice. Q Ranger episode 6.
Yep.
And the episodes 3 and 4 of the Kamen Rider Ghost Allen specials, because those finally appeared.
Yep. Oh, I just realized we didn't cue the roll call. Go for it.
We're live!
Zenkaigan!
Connect.
Loading.
Broadcast.
Watching all the anime. Webcaster. Show Raven.
Equipment wielder. Blue caster. Cheetah Zazu.
Loyal and Lab. Beamcaster. Light Red.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air.
Now that that's out of the way, moving forward.
Lane, calm down. He was already dead.
He was a zombie.
But now he's like dead. He was getting so good. I established he was my favorite character.
And you doomed, and by doing so, you doomed him.
I did too.
Just like I did.
I know. Laser. I now know your pain, Ichi. Funny, yeah. So if you haven't fucking watched this episode, you don't realize Genru's dead. Like actually, game over.
Like actually,
he's
dead. This
gone
for realsies.
Yeah.
For true.
I have spent the last fucking week
not for play
building my Genmu memorial display on my toy shelf.
Hashtag Genmu memorial.
And boy, is it fucking awesome looking now. I not only had the gamer driver with the Protomoney Action X. I also got the Genmu level up figure that Ichi got me for Christmas. Thank you. The Buggle driver. And then recently I just got the zombie gamer figure, and then the Magic the Wizard Gashet.
And you've also got Shakuriki Sports and Girigiri Chambra.
Well, yeah, and Girigiri Chambra, because honestly, yes, Laser used it, but no one used it more than Genmu in the fucking show.
Except
so.
Now Emu has it for the rest of the show. By the way, with regards to the whole memorial, press level X to pay respects.
Yep. Oh God, yeah. You played that game with David too.
Yeah.
In
fact, that's the name of the episode.
Press X to pay respects.
Yep.
You should just find the screenshot of just the funeral with that prompt and just have like the heads replaced with the different riders.
Is there actually a gravestone in that shot? Because if there is, shop his name in.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, do what you can. It's going to be fucking awesome.
Real quick, before we talk about the actual episode, I wanted to just have a quick little diatribe about... There's two big elements in the show that haven't really been explained proper.
And from the judging by the preview for this week, for the next episode... Oh, they're coming!
I'm speaking, of course, about Puppy and Pallad.
Yep.
It's been explicitly stated that they are Bugsters, but we haven't really gone into anything more than that. Are they complete Bugsters? Which means, did someone die to spawn them? Which is really concerning when you think about Poppy, because she was supplied by the Ministry, which means she had to be supplied by Dan, which makes me wonder why she
Why
hasn't...
they trust her to the extent that they do?
Which again, the preview for next episode some questions.
Yeah, that... Spoilers. There's a shot in the preview for next episode. If you don't watch previews, skip the next 5 seconds. Yeah, no, there's a scene of Poppy fucking showing up in front of Pallad and saying, I'm home.
Yeah.
Has she just been faking it this entire time?
You know what?
Pulls Buggle Driver 2 out. Kamen Rider Poppy, new villain.
You know what?
I mean, I would love that, actually.
I would be okay with that.
You know what? I would totally start liking her character more if
I know, right?
Like,
and she just, like, starts, like, chanting off her stupid catchphrases, but with, like, an evil tone.
Right.
No, this would just be Toei's way of being, oh, you guys hate Poppy, huh? Well, guess what? We just made her the actual villain of this fucking show.
Yeah.
What if she just had, like, Dan, like, on his fucking string this entire time or something? Just, like, well, who fucking knows?
Well, you know, he's went fucking nuts, so...
What if she's, like, the first Bugster, like,
the first Bugster Dan spawned?
Possibly.
First one he spawned, maybe.
It's either her or Pallad. It has to be.
The first she knows everything.
Yeah.
If you think about it, throughout this entire show, she knows everything.
She's Urasen. She's been supplying...
Sorry.
Though, I want to bring up just one point here. So, you know how... All the Bugsters at this point have been bosses from the various games.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've seen most of them up to this point. Poppy, obviously, is the Bugster from Doremifa Beat.
Unquestionably.
I have no idea why Dan was wondering where the fuck that was.
It's safe to say that in his insanity, he's forgotten details like that because he also forgot that Laser left his driver with Emu.
He's sitting there like... He's sitting there throughout after his first beating going, where are the Bugsters from these two games, Doremifa Beat and what was the other one?
Dragonite Hunter Zed.
Yeah. Okay.
Which also points out the fact that in the preview, we see Graphite.
Okay.
Graphite's the boss of Dragonite Hunter.
No.
Okay. And see, I thought so, but for the love of... Wouldn't that mean he'd have that data already?
No.
No, but they had to kill him, but when they killed Graphite, Genmu didn't extract his data.
Oh,
no, and also, I've come to believe that this Graphite is a different one, because...
They respawned the new Bugster bait with that data.
Yeah, because Graphite, the old Graphite, he used the proto-Dragonite Hunter Zed.
That was an afterthought. He was a
complete Bugster beforehand, and then he absorbed the proto-gadget.
It's safe to say that he was spawned using the data of Dragonite Hunter Zed.
Okay, yeah, but...
Which is why he was compatible with the gadget
But I like to think that this Graphite we're going to see, it's a new one.
It probably is.
Yeah.
Back to square one, Pallad just fucking generates a new Bugster with that data.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the weird part. Graphite's going to be in the episode. He already got his flowers after he died. So, like...
Suit only?
But I...
Bugster, he's not his complete form anymore.
In the preview, we see his human form.
Yeah, we do see his human form.
Oh, shit, I didn't even know.
So now I'm starting to think, is Toei getting meta with the flowers and faking us out?
Yeah.
Because there was no flowers for Dan, apparently, which means he's probably coming back.
Yeah, all Dan's actor Kate got was just they're opposing the zombies or whatever. And Taiga did it terribly.
So now completely to throw us off because people with flowers are showing up again.
If Dan...
So they didn't give him flowers, so we think he was still going to be in the show, but no, he's the one who's actually
gone.
If
Dan comes back in next season, I will fucking praise the heavens forever.
Oh, my so goodness. Happy.
But no, okay.
So back to the episode.
Yeah.
Opening again, mind you.
Yeah, no, I just...
Do we have an episode count on that yet?
I'll have to double check. It's been
since episode 14. 13 was the last time.
Yeah, so 14, 15, 16, 10. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. This is the 10th week opening.
Yeah, so 10 episodes we've
been on. I mathed. And it starts with Dr. Kurotaro saying, catch Dan or I fire you. Clearly ignoring the fact that Taiga doesn't actually work for them.
Yeah,
right?
So
no, on that note, I'm just like, and Taiga gives a shit because...
he doesn't.
Right? It's like, I mean, he's already not a doctor.
I'm surprised they even...
Right? I'm amazed they let him into the room.
On the Skype call.
Right? Why are you even here?
So, again, I gotta give huge credit to Dan's actor and also to his suit actor for Genmu because, wow, just the acting, the hand gestures, the movements they're doing. Like, you saw him as, like, zombie gamer, and you could just see him, like, going, like, ah!
He went full thriller.
And he's just, like, he's it's literally insane, like so far beyond insanity, and yeah. So,
I'm just on the note of Dan. Like, the last number of episodes, like, when they first revealed him to be a villain, I was like, okay, no, this is cool, he's plotting behind the... And then they gave him then he started with the zombie shit and started being completely fucking batshit. And I just started... He started losing me on that one. I was just like, okay, no, he's just fucking insane at this point. He's not really doing anything.
Although we kind of got an explanation for why he let them keep kicking right. his ass.
Oh, yeah, no, we got that explanation. That's fine. And the minute they started explaining, you know, he needed more data to unlock the full power of his gadget, okay, cool. That makes sense after 10 episodes of watching him get his ass kicked consistently.
Yeah.
But no, it was just not so interesting because he wasn't really... Like, he had, okay, one-minded goal, we know what his goal is, and he's fucking batshit nuts
it's
and
just,
not...
let's get through the 10
not,
games.
Not a very interesting character at this point. But as it came to... As he started getting towards this episode, I was looking at his actor, and I was like, no, this man is having the time of his life playing
this. Yes! Yep. This guy's an actor. He's like, fucking fantastic.
I feel like he looked at the writing, at the scripts he was getting, and the... Like, the bullshit they were giving him to work with. And just, like, I'm gonna run with this.
The last time I saw great acting like this, honestly, was in Gaim when Sid's final moments. Like, Jesus. Like, that. I still, like, think back to that, and I'm like, no, Sid's actor was fucking great. He just, like, he really just executed his final moments of that character so well.
You
and
could
I
say
just,
he really rocked that role.
Oh, did he? God. I just remember, like, it took me a couple minutes to process what happened, and I was like, oh god, he crushed between two rocks! But anyways,
savage.
So Emu's like, he's being conflicted about this. He's like, I don't want to kill him because...
Because I'm a fucking doctor and we save people.
And Tyga's just having none of it. Just like, no!
Tyga's being the voice of logic. He's like, if you let him go, he will keep doing this shit and people will die.
More people. What's more important? It's, his life or many lives?
It's the exact same scene, Persona 4 positive.
And Hiro is sitting there fully agreeing with Emu. He's like, no, he's right. We're doctors. We don't fucking do that.
Yeah.
We just need to stop him so he can answer to the law.
Right?
Also...
Speaking of law, fucking army mounted a barricade outside the Genmu
headquarters.
Yeah, I just
saw Dan walking outside the building, just activates his gacha. I'm like, ooh!
You fucked! Like, seriously, guys. Law enforcement showed up in force.
Yep.
In a freaking toku that wasn't police-based.
Yeah.
Jesus.
This is not common.
That doesn't happen. Like, ever. But, badass battle scene. He summons his mooks, takes out military.
Who are now immortal also right. for that episode.
So you have military guys shooting and not being able to take anything out. And the zombie. It's a zombie game.
It was literally like watching his cutscene from Resident Evil.
Right?
Also, I noticed a really shocking thing in this episode. Hiro called Emu by his name.
Yep.
Like, he was like, Emu, and I'm like, whoa!
Yeah, but you gotta think, that's more of a dramatic... Hiro has more or less figured shit out in regards to Emu and what he is capable of and what Kiria saw in him.
Everyone pretty much puts it together that Emu, because he's Patient Zero, because he was able to spawn Mighty Brothers XX... He has
is capable of spawning new gadgets.
Because technically, since he was Patient Zero, he is the source of all Bugsters and all gadgets.
Yes.
Vicariously.
And so that super gadget that didn't work for Tyga last episode, Hiro hands it to Emu because he looked at Kiria's data and went, oh shit, this is actually meant for Emu to use, that's why.
Yeah. And then we just get, like, which I... thought it was a bit
dragged out.
Dragged out, but I understand the reference you're making.
Click, click,
It's like when you had your NES and you put in a cartridge and you tried turning on and it wouldn't work, so you just kept turning it off and on until it fucking did it.
And he actively fucking pulled it out at one point, blew on it quick, and stuffed it back in, and kept trying.
Gotcha!
It was just like, I get it. It was a little drawn out.
Yeah.
It was Taiga screaming stuff that it's not gonna work, and Hiro trying to like, no, it'll work, just believe in yourself kind
of
crap.
I like how this episode made effective use of the catchphrase that Emu's had the whole show. I'm gonna change the fate of the patients, except this week it was, I will change my own fate, and I will change Dan's fate.
Yep.
Only one of those happened.
In regards to Dan, like, getting his ass kicked so hard...
You mean this episode or over the last 10?
Like, this episode.
Right.
Okay. Technically, Kyria was the one who did it. Because, think about it. It was his program. Emu was using his belt. And while Emu was... Before he transformed, he was thinking about the final words Kyria said to him before he died.
At the end of the day, Kyria is fully responsible for Emu getting this far.
From the grave!
I was literally about to say, editor, put in the clip from Halo, Beyond the Grave. No,
from the grave.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
But, anyways, and we've been pausing. We haven't been getting to it here. We've known it was coming. We've known it. This is what it was. Xayd level 99.
I actually, while I'm not a fan of the design of it still, the sequence that he transformed into it with, fucking stellar.
Right?
Yeah, I like it.
I've really been quiet over the last little bit on this one.
Mm-hmm, like, you have.
Yeah, I haven't. Hey, we're recording earlier tonight, so I'm not half passed out in my chair.
Yay!
Yeah. I've actually, as we've been looking at these magazines, aside from my first little, okay, that's kind of weird for a Kamen Rider series.
Yeah.
I've actually been pretty okay with the design for level 99 up to this
point. Oh, I've gotten so used to it.
Every time we bring it up in a magazine scan, every time we've, like, seen, like, little bits and pieces of things with that picture on it, I've been sitting here like, I'm actually really okay with this. And... It's probably me being a freaking mech fan.
Yeah.
100%, it is Xayd in a mech suit.
It's Robobot, it's Mega Man's Riot Armor.
Gurren Lagann.
It's Gurren Lagann. It's freaking Kirby Robobot.
Yeah.
I said that.
I showed Raven a picture of just like, it was my level 99.
Somebody's head sticking out of a mech suit that they are piloting.
Literally on the artwork for the game, Maximum Mighty X is the name of the game, and in the artwork you see the actual Mighty character actually riding the robot.
Right.
And there's one fatal flaw with this design that not a lot of people have brought up. He can't look left or right with the giant golden hair blocking him.
I mean, yes... But at the same time, you kind of have to look past those sorts of things in Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
It's realistically speaking, the suit actors are looking out of tiny slots anyway, so they have no clue what's going on around them.
It's less that, but it's more a nod towards the fact that when you're, like, in games like where you're piloting a mech, you're not, like, looking left or right, you're actually rotating the mech.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So I feel like that was the idea there.
It works.
Yeah.
When they actually did the transformation sequence and we heard the chime, I was like, oh, okay.
It was so good.
I'm like, okay.
And I'm like 99% confident, and I still have to watch the toy review video, but I think the side IQ no powerful body is a standby chime.
It is.
And then the final part of it is activated when he slams down the head into the figure.
Yeah. Maximum power.
I actually really like the idea behind this gadget where, like, his head is sticking out, and then it shows the mech on the display without the head, and then he pushes the head down on the gadget.
And the head pops up.
On the display. That is actually really, really nice.
It is actually really nice. I really like it.
Yeah.
The form, I love it. Seeing it in motion this episode was really cool.
It is very fun to watch it fight.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And... hearing freaking Kageyama do that.
Yeah, and it's Kageyama, which is
and it's Kageyama
cherry on the
doing
cake.
More mech themes. Cherry on the goddamn cake. I am so okay
it's
with
it's another Kachidoki for you.
Same.
That's
same,
exactly what this is. Right? This is the Kachidoki yeah. form of the show.
Oh, man, I love it.
This is one. This is one of those ones where when the figure art happens, and when.
Oh, God.
That's
oh, God, I never thought about that.
Right?
Yep.
When that happens, I'm so down.
Yep. I know.
It's funny, we were talking a while ago about the images they posted of the gimmick change figure, and if you look at the image of the figure without the armor on it, it is absolutely hilarious.
It's terrifying.
And with regards to figures of level 99, there's also been a couple of really interesting Photoshops that we've seen in our in the Facebook group that we're in of level 99 maximum versions of the other riders. So, like, Genmu level 99, Paradox level 99, Snipe, Brave. I don't think there was a laser one, but I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I saw the Genmu one, and I'm just like, yes.
And someone shopped it in as if it was Genmu level 99 standing there in that big explosion scene. Oh, man, it's so good.
So nice. And the wonderful little thing they brought up about it, and the way it utilizes Kiria's program, it literally has the power to rewrite the Bugster's data as it's attacking.
The first attack he does with it restores Genmu's health gauge.
Yes. I made you mortal.
No, like,
have fun with the next few minutes.
No, yeah. you see, like, I'm watching this episode, and I'm just like, oh, I'm so fucking pumped to see, like, what Dan's gonna do, like, later for the rest of the show. And I just see, like, oh, his life gauge go back up. It's like, yeah, I reprogrammed it so you're not immortal anymore. And I was like, what?
And then that just later, was the later, entire no, point of the gadget.
See him getting his ass kicked. See his health bar go down to, like, the last little slip of health. And I'm just like, no, and then just later
and
in
the
episode,
just yanks the thing
later,
out, like,
yeah,
oh.
No, and then later in the episode, I just see him get his ass kicked more, and then see him trying to transform. And he's trying to press in his gadget; it's not working.
Yeah.
Oh, during I changed your DNA. Fight. I changed your DNA, so you can't use gadgets anymore.
Yeah. The second fight, like, I reprogrammed the Bugster antibody that you was put in your body from the surgery.
You
are no longer a Kamen Rider.
Yeah, and I just go,
oh,
that like, was actually the most shocking part of the whole
right?
thing.
Yeah, Emu walked into that fight looking like he was fully ready to murder a person.
Which was kind of what they were hinting towards, because Pallad gave him this really creepy villain speech.
Pallad gave him a speech, Taiga gave him a speech, and you thought, like, after Pallad's speech, he was like, you know what, Pallad's got a point.
No, and then...
And he walks in looking like he's ready to straight up murder the guy, and then during his Hisots, it's like, Dan survives, untransformed, lying on the ground. It's like, he didn't game over. Okay, I guess Emu didn't kill him right there. Tries to transform again.
No.
Nothing.
And just at that point, I'm like, no. And then just see Pallad walk in.
Emu, don't be such a fucking spoiled.
No, but what I loved was Emu walked up to him, like, and you just see him, like, holding the gadget, and then you just immediately just see hair blowing and just fucking M do the biggest fucking smirk he's ever done. And I'm just like, oh, he's gonna destroy him.
Yo, yeah.
And just, have you ever noticed now that, like, in for villains or whatever like that in Rider, like, everyone just calls them protagonists by their full name. Just, like, in Gaim, everyone... Hold your head in! Just in Gaim, it's Kazunaba Kota!
Yeah, I feel like that falls under
and a couple, and yeah, like, in Heart would go, like, Tomari Shinosuke.
No, I think in a couple of those cases, that's more akin to a parent screaming child's full name because they're pissed at them.
I think that's part of it. I think part of it is also when it comes to the enemies that are not human, because they're addressing someone who is a different race than them, they're using their full name as a sort of a respect thing, but also I don't know the fact that you split your name in half for convenient reasons.
Yeah.
And then one part during the fight or whatever, you just see Genmu just be like, Ekaseido! And just, Genmu's like, Genmu! And I'm just like, whoa.
I was
like,
kind of hoping there would be like a zoomed in like clash of them.
Yeah.
You know, sort of like a versus fighting screen.
And then Genmu used the, like, Girigiri Chambra with, like, Dormi Fabi critical finish, and then he used Jet Combat finish,
which was really great, because I love watching a bow fire missiles.
Also, we got the really good Bang Bang critical fire, which, like, they upped it from the first one we saw, where he literally just went and just blasted all of his fucking cans and just wiped out fucking everything in his path. And
yeah,
I was like, there we go.
Once Genman was no longer immortal, Snipe made quick work of the moose.
Oh god, yeah.
A hero just trying to attack him with fucking All Dragon.
The other thing I really liked was Nico's response to Xehanort level 99. He announces this form is level 99, and she's like, oh my god, that's the highest level!
She was there to explain it to the non-gamer audience.
Right? Pretty much.
And you just see Poppy, like, counting in her head, what the fuck is 99?
How many is that? I don't think I have enough fingers.
Is it this many?
I don't think I have that many fingers.
So then we see Pallad, like, kind of walk out, and he's like, alright, I'm gonna fucking finish this. Like,
no, but he's subtle about it. Like, he looks like he's picking up Dan, and I'm like, oh, is he gonna carry him off? Nope! Gut punch, steal the visor, infects him with not just any Bugster, but Bugster virus from zombie.
Yeah, dangerous zombie.
Which apparently is much worse, because it's not yellow or that weird olive color, it's fucking purple.
It's a reference to when you get bitten by a zombie. Once you get bitten by a zombie, there's literally going back. You're fucked. Like, you're instantly
Sir,
fucked.
You are bone.
And oh my god, this just... The scene of Dan, like, crawling and screaming and...
I don't want to die!
Getting back to his virus feet. Literally fucking murders him on the spot.
And then just his...
I was just gaping jaw and terror when I watched this.
Holy shit, they did that.
I'm just lying on my bed watching the episode in my room and just being like... And just see him disappear here, game over, I'm like... No!
Like, literally...
Oh, by the way, Lane, thanks for spoiling that for me on Facebook.
Yeah, I literally, like, hours like, later, hours post a later. Picture of just my bungle driver
right.
and the dangerous zombie gash it and just
Rick
go,
Genmo.
Just never forget.
And I'm scrolling through Facebook like, oh, god damn it, Lane.
The funny thing about when I watched it is Gar was downstairs, and I can't remember if he'd seen the episode or not, but he knew I was watching it, and then, like, you just, like, hear, game over, and then Gar just hears from upstairs, holy shit!
No, and I, like, the morning I watched the episode, this is really funny, because, like, I fucking scared the fuck out of Ichi. So, like, I come
downstairs, yeah.
And, like, Ichi's just waking up, and so I'm just at his door, and I'm like, now I understand what it's like to lose someone you love. And Ichi's like,
I got genuinely scared. I'm like, oh my god, did something happen to Kelly?
Yeah, it's like, are you okay, man? I'm like, no, just XA. And you're like, fuck, man, don't scare me like that. Say character you love. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
For real.
Yeah. I shouldn't talk to you about shit when you're just waking up.
Also that.
Yeah. That.
But, yeah, and... You know what the great thing, like the worst part is, Dan's death affected Emu so hard.
Yeah,
like
the episode ends
with him just on the rooftop of the CR building, just devastated because this is the second person that's gone because of like shit he's done.
But I think Hero had a really good statement for him on that one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like Hero within the last. Bunch of episodes has kind of picked himself up from shit tier character to actually having a fucking heart.
That said, we got dicked out yet again from seeing his level 5 transformation with the full dragon.
Yeah, kind of just went into it and then fuck yeah moves. Because
the show doesn't care about full dragon anymore. It's just kind of that.
It's just Brave. Brave needs something because Snipe's busy.
Right? Snipe's busy being awesome, so he needs to be able to do something.
Honestly, I don't think we're going to see much of Hero using Tattle Fantasy anymore, because honestly, Bang Bang Simulation is... The Gash Gear Dubeta is Snipe's baby.
So
like,
here's
he's
the thing.
Owned that fucking
here's
thing.
Here's the thing that I... What I feel about the Gash Gear Dubeta.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, after having seen the forms, I actively think that Tattle Fantasy is stronger.
Me too.
It is stronger, but he can only use it for so long.
Yeah.
Whereas Snipe just has full control of his.
And that's why I was going to say, I think Hero will keep using Tattle Fantasy and it will start fucking with him.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's going to be a fucking another thing like with Baron.
Yeah.
Because just like, he got... attacked by the
Demon King.
I'm just talking about Ngaim.
Oh.
Got attacked by a Invis, and just like over time, he just
started affecting him.
But so that's why he was like, I'm gonna wear the belt to see if that preserves it.
Yeah.
So, oh, Jesus. Imagine just the Tattle fantasy game just takes him over literally.
Like it did the first time?
Yeah!
Just permanently have him be a villain?
Because, like...
I would like that, actually.
Because we're getting to see Hero in a whole new light where even me, I'm just like, who hates him, going, yeah, no, he's doing really well. He's redeeming himself. And then just to see him fucking fall.
The show right now, I feel, is doing this wonderful job of taking characters that I've been very meh about up to this point and suddenly making me very interested in their development.
Yeah, like, even Hero, like, he's not my favorite still, but I'm like, no, you're
Hero
stepping up!
Hero stopped being a one-note douchebag and actually started doing shit.
Yeah!
That's kind of how I've been feeling about Taiga in the last batch of episodes, too.
Like, he went from... Like, I was interested in Taiga to begin with, and then he started doing what he did for the thing and just became a one-note character, and I was like, okay, not as interesting as I thought he was going to be. And then the last little while, same as Hero. He's just kind of picked himself up as a character, developed, and...
Yeah, with Taiga,
we understand his motivations better.
Exactly.
And the minute we started understanding his motivations, I started giving a shit again about him.
Exactly.
And so we're at a point here where, no, like, all of the major characters, I actually give a shit about all of you right now. What the hell?
I'm actually really happy how the show's going.
Yeah.
And now that we're standing at the end of what I would call chapter two of the show, I'm actually really looking forward to seeing what's next.
Exactly.
And so, speaking of what's next, the preview was crammed with a lot of things. Shishi Red cameo, the new Genmu CEO, Poppy hanging out with Pallad,
and
Graphite. And Kamen Rider Chronicle being completed.
And judging from what I've seen of what the new Genmu...
Because all Pallad needed was fucking Graphite and Poppy.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and judging from seeing the new Genmu CEO, kind of reminds me of Kogami from Oz.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Imagine they just got his actor to play that
role. That'd be great.
That'd be great. But just quickly, Genmu... I will miss you. You were a fucking amazing villain throughout, like, the first half of the show. You were really great. Yeah, no, I will. I will never forget you. You were still my favorite character in this show. But I'm going to... Okay, stop. Stop! Stop! The one time you decide, okay, no, I'm done. And that's it. No. So for characters for now, I'm going to focus mainly on Emu, Pallad, and... Well, actually, more so Emu and Poppy. And Nico. Because I like Nico. Oh, and... Hero's dad finally came back! Where the fuck have you been?
Consistently at the fucking Ministry of Health, apologizing profusely for the idiots who work for him.
Yeah, and then you just see the ministry head going like, good job, guys, you beat Genmu.
No, I don't have to fire you, lol!
And you just see Emu just standing there being like...
Yeah, but he
not
died,
like this.
Though.
Not like this.
And Hero's like, you know, part of what defines you as a doctor is how you deal with the patients you lose.
Yeah.
Yep.
Big talk coming from a man who's never lost a patient.
You watch. They'll change that sometime in the show.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, another quick thing to note is that Taiga got Jet Combat back, Hero got Doremi's Beat, and Emu ended up with Girigiri Chambara.
Which will be a neat I would love to see Xade level 3 using Girigiri Chambara.
Chambara Action Gamer level 3.
Has 3 level 3 gashits now. Like,
which are pretty much a moot point at this moment in time.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Xade Sports Gamer again.
I mean, between the three main riders, we have fucking level 99, level 50, and level 5.
Oh,
whoever
yeah.
chooses to use what J- that dime.
Just to show how serious I am for building up my Genmu Memorial display.
It's the Genmu Memorial. Memorial now.
Oh, Gen Memorial. I love that.
I said that earlier.
Hey,
you didn't hear.
So I actually bought a second level up Genmu figure just so I can make Sports Gamer level 3 for him. So I love this character. So I'm going full fucking ham. All I need left is the Gashikon Sparrow and then another bug visor for weapon mode, and then I'm pretty much good.
Weapon mode.
Unless Dan comes back for some fucking reason and becomes Kamen Rider Chronicle, which honestly, that'd be fucking
it's great not entirely
did.
Out of the cards it's yet.
No, and just I don't know. I don't think Pilat's going to be Chronicle because he wants to play it, not be it.
I don't know.
He wants to fight Kamen Rider Chronicle. That's the, it's just that he realized how far gone Dan went that he's like, no, he's not going to be him. Fuck it.
The only argument against Pilat being Kamen Rider Chronicle is, or Chronos, whatever, is the fact that Perfect Knockout Gamer is still on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something to note, I was looking at the artwork for Kamen Rider Chronicle from the completed version in the preview, and someone actually did up artwork of it. It shows the silhouettes of all the level 2 riders and Pilat's or Paradox's both forms. But Laser is like the standed up version and it might be the level 5 body.
Hmm.
I'm just wondering what the point behind that is.
Laser. Blazer.
And we know my confidant Michel. Go watch Dodgeball, it's funny.
It's really funny. I can't believe I found that gift.
Anyways, I think we've gone a little overly in-depth about this episode.
No,
so.
The show is so good now!
Yeah, no, and that's the great thing about like just having like three of us sometimes. It's just like we can get into a really in-depth discussion, so
yeah,
it's good. So I hope you all enjoyed. Rest in peace, Gamu. I won't forget you. I really won't.
Rest in pizzas.
Rest
in the digi world.
Rest in double peace. I don't know. Anyways, Yosha Lucky! Alright, so Q-Ranger Episode 6. I honestly gonna admit, I've been so hyped for Power Rangers this week, I completely did not, forgot to watch Q-Ranger until the very last second. So.
I've just been busy.
I
not only saw Power Rangers yesterday, but I also watched the Sword Art Online movie on Wednesday, and
Mass Effect.
I've been busy sleeping.
And yeah, playing Mass Effect Andromeda. Well, and then,
no one loves sleeping better than you do, Raven.
Anyways, Hammy did the recap because this is kind of a Hammy episode, but not
it's
really.
It's more Hammy's tired of Lucky's fucking awesomeness, and I'm just like, no, this episode gave me more
not
of a reason to hate Hammy.
Not how I would have phrased that.
What did you say?
Sick of his shit.
Sick of Lucky's bullshit.
Yeah, well, okay, that too, but no, but she's also kind of jealous that, like, oh, why is Lucky so fucking cool at everything he does?
Why did he get to be the leader?
Well,
that's the idea with this episode. It's, hey, let's pick a leader.
No, but like I said, this episode showed that I hate Hammy even more. Like,
I've been seeing a lot of people talk about how Hammy finally has something resembling a personality.
Right?
But
that was funny.
It's still not much of one, though,
and
I have to say.
And now she seems to have some kind of rivalry with Garu, so...
The only interesting thing we learned about her is the fact that she actually came from a shinobi clan, which I'd like to see more of!
Yeah, all the closest thing to a flashback we got was just her getting her ass kicked by Spada and Champ.
Right?
At basketball, or at least in a gym.
As she was talking about painful moments in the past, it's just Spada and Champ kicking her ass.
Whoa! So cool!
Well, I mean, look how tiny she is, and you stand her up against Champ... I mean, she needs to use Shinobi stuff, or else she's pretty boned.
Yeah. But I love that, like... So, yeah, they're trying to choose a leader or whatever like that, and so... Hammy's like, oh, I don't want Lucky to be leader. And then even Garu was just like, no, I think Lucky would make a great leader. I mean, look how awesome he is. And then proceeds to immediately, I vote for myself. And I'm like...
Up until that happened, I was... Like, between that and the previous episode, I'm just like... Garu is, like, falling for Lucky hard. He's, like, his pet or something.
Yeah!
It's bordering on creepy.
No, and I'm fine with this, because, like I said, Lucky and Garu are my two favorite characters in Q-Ranger, so I'm just like, yes, no, I'm totally for like, Garu's undeniable loyalty to Lucky. It's great.
He's loyal and loud. So, everyone immediately starts voting for themselves as a leader... God. And because they're all assholes.
No, Balance didn't, though. Naga was like, I vote for myself. And Balance was like, really, dude?
Fucking really, bro? And Sholompo steps in and knocks that shit off with a contest.
Whoever does the most shit will become leader.
By the way, only these five are eligible, runs the Q-lette. Which we get a full sequence of, which is pretty cool.
No, just... I will never get tired of that sequence.
Me
just
either.
Lompo, that song is fucking catchy as hell. Lompo just dancing and stuff like that. It's fucking great.
The funniest part of that is when he starts swinging his arms in circles, and I can't get over that. That needs to be a GIF.
God, just fucking... I love Lompo. Like, I think he might...
I can't wait for him to start transforming.
I think he might become my favorite mentor in Sentai, period. Like...
Well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I hope when he becomes Ryu Commander and starts kicking ass that he still stays funny, because I want him to be a funny version of Doggy Kruger that we all know he's meant to be.
Well, no, he's going to be another All Shade.
That too.
Yeah.
Which is also purple.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, the Purple Ranger's got to be funny. Like, think about it. Tokyo Nanago was conductor. He was super silly as fuck, too. So just... Well, not Geki Violet. Geki Violet was a very serious dude.
Yeah.
So.
He was Violet, not purple.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, yeah, the roulette, it's just the core of four with, instead of champ, it's balance, so...
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's cool. It's cool to see balance doing shit.
I gotta say, silver and gold are, like, tied for my favorites right now. Because I just love... Balance as a character and Naga. I love both of them for different reasons. Right. Balance is just so cool, and both of their designs are executed perfectly, and I love Balance and Naga's like abilities where they can control stuff, and Balance is so funny for like dancing around all the time, and Naga breaks the fourth wall all the time, and they're just
Naga
so
does
good.
I love when Naga does that.
Every time they're like, oh, the commander must have planned that out from the beginning. And Naga just looks at the audience. He fucking totally did not!
And we can tell from this episode that out of everyone who loves doing the Q-Ranger dance, it is Naga the most. Because holy shit!
He just pulls a full Lucio and breaks it the fuck
God,
down.
Yeah, he's like fucking breakdancing.
Incredible dancer!
Which makes sense because, like, Snake, because he's like...
But it's great seeing him... doing those dance moves with such a fucking expressionless face.
It's the best.
It's amazing. Oh, and to see Champ fucking dancing and fucking just... But yeah.
Confirmed, so the Q-Ranger ending song exists in-universe and becomes weaponized later.
Yeah, so... Oh, God. That was a sight to behold, and we're never going to see it again.
Before we get into that, let's talk quick about the monster of the week. Denbiru. Is it supposed to be an ostrich?
It's like an ostrich mixed with like a Ferengi or something, because God, those ears.
Jesus Christ. We
but
were all
honestly,
thinking it and Raven said it.
I don't think I've seen a design like this for a Kaijin before, and I liked it. Like,
I'm
he was
sure
a,
there's
he was
something
a,
similar, but yeah, I couldn't think of one.
He was
one.
A complete fucking weirdo, but it was a really interesting design. Like, I don't love it, but I don't hate it either, so...
I appreciate its weirdness.
Yeah, indeed. I appreciate its weirdness, exactly. But the
you
main
could say it was alien.
Oh,
I like that. There you go, Raven. Pulling off the puns.
What the hell is this? Lane likes blue stuff. Raven's doing puns. Everyone's stealing my shtick.
Stole my gig. Stole my bit. But no, the main focus of this episode is the Pegasus Kutama. So.
Who is voiced by Kintaros.
And my God, is he just. He's a treat. And we got, like, some funny-ass, like, bullshit backstory with, like, a Lompo befriending Pegasus from the Pegasus constellation.
Complete with picture books.
Yeah, with illustrations, and...
I want
really,
those as wallpapers.
Really well-drawn illustrations. And I'm just sitting there watching it and be like, you're amazing. Like, you're a pathological liar, and you...
It's so amazing,
but
though.
You're amazing!
Just that one, that first artwork of him, like, journeying, and you see him with, like, a hat on, and I'm like, that's unnecessary, but amazing!
And then later rocks a fucking amazing pair of aviator sunglasses.
Yeah,
and just, Jesus Christ!
Ass.
Yeah, like, it's the greatest, it's the greatest thing since, like, Chase was wearing them in Drive. Like, fuck!
The show is, like... gunning for best mentor hard.
Yeah, no, like, Lompo's just great. And the fact that he's gonna be a ranger later, just whoop,
I think I might have to buy the Henshin Pimpkin.
Do it! I mean, that's a cool fucking thing to have, so.
I know it's called the Ryutsuator, by the way.
No, we're calling it the Henshin Pimpkin.
Yeah. So, the Pegasus Kutama, it puts a wing horse head on the chest and wings on the shoulders. I really, really like that design. I feel like it could look better used on other members.
I've grown to really like it more, because at first when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's just, like, jutting out of him, out of his chest, and I don't like it. But watching it in action stuff, I was like, no, it's grown on me.
You mean so. Watching him, like, dummy chest first into fucking everything in sight?
Well, yes. Yeah, amazing. Pegasus was ready to get shit done.
The goddamn thing.
Yeah. If you actually paid attention to the shots, especially later in the episode, you can see that they actually damaged it.
Oh, big time.
When you fall on your fucking face that many times, it's gonna happen.
Also, the Pegasus Qtama itself is really pretty. It's like a shiny pearl.
It's a pearlescent color, and it's really nice.
Yeah, it's pretty. And it's also a campaign item, so you have to buy, like, a Q-Ranger toy just to get one. So
it's like the Zangetsu plate or the Proto Mighty Action X Gash.
But luckily right now, other than Okami Qtama, and I already have my Seiza Blaster... Because I sold my Kyureno to Gar because I realized I didn't need it. So, but other than that, there's not really much other Q-Ranger merch I want right now. So, thank God for that.
So, yes, when Lucky uses the Pegasus Qtama, it immediately starts rejecting him. And, like, he actually says to him, "Tame me, bitch! What's up?"
Well, yeah, it's a horse.
But it's really weird to have an intelligent creature tell the thing that owns it, yeah, tame me. Make me your bitch. Make me your horse.
Right.
Make me your stallion.
Be my... Ride me, damn it.
Be my daddy.
And I'm just here just thinking, like, is, like, Luggy's probably thinking, is my form change giving me sass?
It's like X-A laser all over again.
Ride me, damn it.
Ride me. Hate me! Why don't you let me die?
Honestly, only one annoying thing I didn't like this episode was just the constant, like, just Garu and Hammy just, like, fucking at each other's throats. So I was like, okay, guys, fuck off. Like, seriously. Garu, as much as I love you, just, no.
This, like, was definitely...
You're pulling a Zoro, stop it!
This was definitely the learn to team episode.
Yeah, definitely learn to team. And, like, it's funny, like, Balance, I don't even think he cared that he didn't even try to become leader. Like, he wasn't trying to, like, gun for it. And, of course, Lucky being the awesome son of a bitch that he is, he won because he did the most shit because of the Pegasus armor, so.
By the way, we should mention how he equips it. You know that table in the middle of the room that they're always hanging out in?
Oh, God, you fuck.
Anyone notice that it's a pool table? Because they certainly pointed that out this episode. Send me a strong Qtama! Okay.
Boop.
Break. Just plays a game of pool to knock a pool ball into the Qtama, which is sitting on the precipice of one of the holes in the pool table. And to knock it in, which somehow teleports it to Lucky.
And then Lampo, like, he sees the Qtama go into the hole, and Lampo's just like, yeah. Yes.
8-ball, corner pocket.
And Qtama, corner pocket.
That hole is a trans-dimensional portal to the belt?
Evidently.
It is obviously.
Can we also point out that while Pegasus was rampaging in one shot, he formed a fucking pentagram?
Yeah.
That was weird.
Oh, just a little.
It was a thing he did.
Just summon Satan.
Space!
No, but one of these days, just because of the way they're doing it, I kind of want to see them just run with their own gag and just a fucking... pool ball just pops out of the belt as well.
That would be great.
So Raymond, would you
not only did the Qtama drop in, but so did a fucking ball. So
yeah, but the ball didn't come out of the Q-buckle.
Yeah, I would have laughed if it did though. And he was just like, the fuck.
So Raymond, would you like to explain why now Stinger's like your favorite character in this fucking show?
Okay, no, he already kind of was, but
he cemented but that more. Further.
Hey,
So to help with their teamwork, Sho Lampo suggests a group dance training thing. Of course he did.
Because apparently the Orion is equipped with a gym.
Apparently.
It's a big-ass ship, man!
So, it's the same gym that fucking Hami was fighting in her fucking flashback.
Yeah.
But anyways. So, of course, when they're starting to do this, Raptor immediately calls Stinger and tells him to get back to the ship for dance training. And Stinger's just looking at the communicator for a minute, just like, No, fuck that shit. I'm going elsewhere.
That sounds boring.
Fuck that shit. I have better things to do. Click.
That sounds boring. Screw you. I'm getting out of here.
Right? I'm just like, yeah, no, that would have been my response.
I'm so glad he didn't join. Like, I know we see him dancing in the ending, kind of, but I'm so glad he stayed in character for that.
Mm-hmm. Ooh! Let's talk about the fucking squid and octopus bounty hunter people.
Ikagen and Madoko. Squid and octopus monsters.
Yeah. So, me and Raven are in full agreement that Ikagen is just, like, fucking awesome.
Oh, fuck,
like,
yeah.
His design is great. Like, he's a squid thing, but then he has, like, this cool, like,
blue skull
with, like, tentacles coming out of the eye sockets.
It is a squid with fucking tentacles infesting a glowing blue skull, and that is his head.
That's his head.
That's amazing.
And the tentacles are coming out of his eye sockets, and it's just...
And he's got this, like, badass fucking suit thing going on down below, too. So it's fucking... He just looks awesome. And then he starts fighting. Oh my god, that guy.
He wields a fucking flail!
Excuse me a second. I'm gonna just hold my hands behind my back and dodge every fucking attack you throw at me.
Like Sieg.
Yeah.
We should have had this guy in Zoojo rather than Bunghole. Like, this guy's so much cooler.
This guy will get revenge for Bunghole.
And then Ichi liked...
Madoko, the octopus lady, who constantly calls people taco, which is a pun for the word octopus.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's just calling people an octopus, and then Ikage has to just be like...
Ikagen.
Yeah, at the very end of the episode, after she's been doing it the whole time, he just looks at her and is like, you are the octopus.
Now you are the one who is the loof.
You are...
She has like a mace in one hand and a gun in the other, and she, they fight so nice. I'm looking forward to seeing more of them. Apparently, I first suspected that they were possibly more Karo, but they're actually explicitly stated that they're Dark Matter assassins.
Mm-hmm. Which means they work with Stinger's brother.
Yeah, Scorpio. So Stinger's gonna use them to get the Scorpio. Mm-hmm.
Or try anyway.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I just thought of a fucking amazing...
Meanwhile, thank God Stinger's still looking for the secret that lies on Earth.
Yeah.
You know that thing he didn't get the information for out of the last guy?
Yeah.
I just thought of a fucking hilarious idea that we could do. There's never an episode of Q-Ranger where it's like a heavily Scorpio-focused episode.
Our lead-in for the discussion is Scorpio!
Yeah, the Scorpio theme.
Absolutely. Because
there is a Scorpio theme song!
Absolutely.
Fuck yes!
We'll hold out hope that maybe he'll become Saucery Orange at one point.
I hope so.
That'd be awesome.
You know, I hope he just kills Stinger and just takes his fucking Sazer Blaster.
No, because then Raven won't have anyone to like.
He'll like Scorpio! Care for him in Gaim, don't care about him in Kyurem.
I'll tell you one thing, if Scorpio starts becoming a regular character, Kevin would come back.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe.
So basically Lucky literally dances all night and takes control of Pegasus by earning his respect. And then they get back to the fight.
The fight in which they proceed to dance to the ending theme while fighting and kick ass to the music.
This is the only time that a Sentai's ending theme has been weaponized.
They were literally like punch, 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 punch to the music.
It was great! It was executed so well!
You can hear the hits matching to the beat.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hi.
Yeah.
It was so cool. Oh, what's the Yoshilucky counter at?
Oh, so there were three more this episode, bringing the total counter up to 32.
Wow. Fucking easy count, go fuck yourself so far.
So they use All-Star Pegasus Impact to fight off the monster, and then they jump into the Zord battle with the Morai Mars. And here's where something Hammy-related of interest happens.
Yeah, you know how she's been absolutely useless with the Chameleon Zord up to this point?
Yep.
They actually put her on a leg this time, and I was like, oh, thank God, they're not using the useless one as an arm. And then she proceeds to activate her thing, and basically, instead of just being a whip coming out of an arm, now it's a hidden, it's a surprise tripwire out of the foot.
Which was actually really, really
Which is
great.
Actually way the fuck more useful!
Yeah.
Good idea, guys.
Yep.
And then they finish it off by channeling the Pegasus Kyutama into the Kireno, which puts the Pegasus head and wings on the Zord itself, mm-hmm. which looked beautiful.
Oh, so good.
And then they finish off the Morimors with a wing attack.
Yeah, literally, a wing attack. And then just this funny scene where they go back to the Orion or whatever like that, and just like, all right, let me get this Pegasus armor out. What happened? Lombo's like, oh, his life has been extinguished, but don't worry. His death will not be in vain. No, I was just sleeping. I get tired after I exhaust my energy.
You dick.
And I'm just like, both of you are assholes.
Wow.
Fucking Lompo.
It would have been kind of weird if he did die, because that would have made both shows with a death this week.
Yep.
Pegasus goes back into his Pokeball. And they decide that they don't need a leader.
Yeah.
They're all stars of their own.
Just pull a Tokuger. We're all the leader.
We're all Q-Rangers now.
I mean, yeah. So, great episode. Next week, Balance has his birthday stolen.
Apparently.
And X8 shows up.
Level 1 X8.
Yeah, it's level 1 suit. I was like, yay! He's like, fucking love that suit design.
I'm actually really, really looking forward to next week's crossover bits, because I'd really like them to explain...
They're not.
...the fact that Exade is on a planet taken over by Jark Matter.
It's just like how they're not... They didn't explain how the fuck Ghost came to Zoodger, and Zooeagle went to Ghost
They were
world.
Neighboring cities?
Shut the fuck up.
You know, like driving guy. No, it's just one city over.
See, at least
we're literally it's like Mississauga and Toronto. It's technically like right next to each other.
See, at least the Tokuger Gaim special did it right, because the Tokuger's just trained to Zawami City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they were traveling the whole show anyway.
So yeah, they're going across Japan.
Or like Raven was saying, it could be like driving a ninja.
Yeah, it could be like the driving a ninja crossover where they just literally tell you we're from an alternate reality.
Which is kind of what I expect them to do. Although I had a funny idea that I absolutely don't think will happen. Mm-hmm. Guys, what if the Q-Ranger world is inside the game world?
No! They're not going to explain why! It's going to happen!
That'll be why there's a fucking Q-Ranger gashet.
Stop
it's
trying!
It's literally... No, Q-Ranger's happening inside this gashet.
It's like based off like Star Trek Online or EVE Online or games mm-hmm. like that.
Stop trying to make fetch happen, all right, Ichi? It's not going to happen.
All right, those were the weekly episodes. So, for our featured topic this week, since clearly we just didn't get enough of Ghost from last week.
Oh, yay!
We're talking about episodes 3 and 4 of the Alan specials, because they're like 10-minute episodes each. Interesting looks into Ellen's character they continue to be.
Yep.
So, episode 3 apparently happens right after Adonis dies in the Ghost show.
Well, the first half of it, anyway.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, it's Ellen trying to comprehend his, at the same time, lack of emotion, but also something resembling sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And literally the first half of this is just everyone trying to cheer him up and Alan going, I don't understand your bullshit!
And Tucker is just like talking to him and I'm like, shut up. You're dead! You don't get to talk about life! At all!
At least he had one.
Dude!
So, how are we going to explain the process of human life to Alan?
It's the game of life!
Literally!
I think...
With the fucking giant die that doesn't matter because it's one on all sides.
Nakari's just standing there going, what?
Why do we need the die? Why did you bother making it?
Which is really great because literally halfway through this whole debacle, they just abandon it.
No,
you don't need to roll this. Fuck it.
I think this Alan special, it was the most of Onari's, like, over-the-top Onari we've ever seen.
Oh my god, he goes full creeper.
Like,
it's
so
amazing.
Like, he does this fucking thing where he's just like, just, like, slapping down on his, like, thigh over something.
I want a gif of that forever.
And then you just see him, like, immediately just cut to, like, super serious face, and I'm like, whoa.
So, the first stop on the Game of Life giant board game, school!
Yep.
Cut to Alan in a really awkward schoolboy cosplay.
Still doesn't beat cross.
What is school?
Still doesn't beat cross-dressing Shinken Red.
I don't think anything will.
Oh, that scared you for
life. We'll see what happens in the Spectre v Cinema.
No. God, that movie better be okay.
It better
not,
be
not okay. Good. Just okay. Better than the Ghost Summer movie.
I don't think that's difficult, honestly.
No, it's the worst fucking writer movie I've ever seen.
It can only go up.
Guy movie was better than Ghost.
Second movie. Stage, the workforce promptly dress Alan like an Urotaro's cosplayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like exactly. Oh man.
All we were missing was him just like tapping his glasses.
Then we get to the third one. Marriage.
Oh, okay.
Who the fuck
what
says?
Is marriage? You find somebody you love and you spend the rest of your life with them. Who the fuck is this person?
It's your wife.
Just what some, the fuck some, is this? Alan Baby.
Alan Baby.
Literally, he says Alan Baby.
Alan Baby.
And it's just like a woman with a thing over her face that says wife, and a child in his hand with a thing over his face that says baby. And we're just like, oh god, can that be canon under there?
Right? No, I'm just sitting there like, I swear to god, that's probably canon under that fucking face. Actually, you know what? Judging from the way that they probably did this and the cast on hand at the time, that was probably in, what's her name? Fumi's granddaughter.
Harumi?
Yeah. That was probably her because she was probably the only other female on set that day.
Yeah. And the other great thing about that scene is that Onari is like dangling the wedding bouquet over Kari. Just like, yeah.
You want this, bitch?
I really wanted him to just throw it and have her like dart after it like a cat.
No.
We get to the goal. Open the door. Onari's lying there dead with a fucking thing in front of him.
The goal of human life!
Death!
Oh!
Wow, nice life lesson to the kids there, guys.
Oh, boy!
Ooh. Yeah, that's the first thing I think about when I'm born. I can't wait to die.
I mean, I guess that's kind of what the show's been positing to us, that the point of human life is that it's fragile and ends.
Yes, but then the biggest lesson
the goal,
from all
you
this,
say.
No, but the biggest lesson of all this is live life to your fullest.
The goal, the lesson is live life and then die.
No,
Jesus Christ!
What you do with your life during it.
But they didn't mention that.
No.
They just said, okay, go to school, work, marry, and die.
No, but they did in episode 4.
Which I have to say, that's, like, really old-fashioned, closed-minded thinking.
Yeah.
I'm surprised something like that exists in today's day and age.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not everyone goes to school. Not everyone immediately goes to the workforce. Not everyone gets married. Everyone dies.
Oh.
Everybody dies!
All right, enough. Don't worry, just sing, please.
Sometimes.
No. God, you know these songs.
I grew up in the 90s.
Uh-huh. Those are 80 songs, by the way.
Whatever.
So fuck you.
and it's after this part that Alan realizes, oh yeah, Fumi died. Oh yeah, my dad died too. And, like, he's just hanging out at the takoyaki cart after this whole debacle, talking to Harumi, and he's just, like, leaning against the cart like some stone teenager talking to her, and I'm just thinking to myself, yeah, your grandma died. My dad died too. You want to go die together? Since that's apparently the goal of humanity.
Yeah,
right. Just,
hey, want to go die together sometime with me?
Want to go commit ritualistic double suicide?
But then, we eventually, we get to the part of the episode where Grandma Fumi dies. And he's just like, goes to her granddaughter and like, she seems like pretty okay that like, you know, oh, I'll miss her. But then it just started, like, Alan starts to make her, like, really sink in that, like, oh, well, yeah, who's gonna, like, praise you on, like, how talented you are and shit like that and give you encouragement. And then it just seems like, yeah, Alan's just like, well, I can be there for you if you want. Like,
and as he's talking to her, I'm, like, digging through Fumi's takoyaki cart, they confirm what we all put together at least an episode ago.
Or, you know, in the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That because Alan has not aged, he met Fumi when she was a young girl.
And so that time when he showed up, saw her, and, yeah, oh, hey, look, it's this guy again.
and then showed up again later and saw her again. No, that was Harumi. That
so that's
time.
Why just yeah. the entire time Fumi knew Alan, just even when he showed up again in the series, she knew that was the news.
Yeah, she knew it was him.
Yeah,
she knew something was up with
him. Yeah, and she knew that he was like an interesting guy. That's why she was like playing around with him and being like, oh, aren't you like a handsome young boy and stuff like that, just hamming it up.
I just like to imagine, they'll never confirm it or anything towards it, but I like to imagine in my head that because Fumi knew that it was Alan the whole time and that he never aged, that the reason she kept giving him free takoyaki was that so he would share his secret of immortality with her.
Oh dear.
No! Well, so you put your soul into this little thingy here and then make sure it doesn't get shattered or, yeah, you die.
Next from Premium Bandai, Fumi Icon!
It's just a takoyaki.
But yeah, like, you just watch Alan put it together in his head. Confirmed, I met Fumi when she was a child. Confirmed, humans can age. Confirmed, I can cry.
No, and right. it was pretty touching.
It was actually.
And you just hear Harumi
reaches into the cupboard and finds the drawing that she fucking did.
And Harumi is just like, it's like, say something. He's like,
nope.
Let me go.
Yeah.
So then we get to episode 4,
it literally takes place immediately after the series.
Yeah, but they fucking tricked us into thinking it was episode 1 because, like, we had the same shot of Akari running up to the temple going, like, Takeda!
And then shit went differently all of a sudden.
Because he actually wanted to go this time.
Yeah, and hey, remember that thing? She actually mentioned flat out, it's the second time in a row you've done this to me.
Yeah.
You fucking whore.
Right? Goddamn sleeping motherfucker. Yeah. Now, and so...
Sleep when you're dead!
Onari comes in to call... Yeah. Onari comes in to call them upstairs, and who's upstairs? New person to have them look into... yeah, I know.
A new client.
New client. It's Harumi.
And Onari just goes over to Onari. Okay. I thought we closed the paranormal investigations.
We can't really do much right now.
Just Onari is like, yeah, but I like money.
Right?
No, it's like, no, I like doing it.
It never actually established if they ever got paid for any of these. Right.
Well, I think they were doing it to kind of help as a way to, like, find the icons.
Just at the end of each case, he just holds out the, like, donation tray.
Maybe.
Yeah. No, just gets a stick of gum.
Right.
Nice family.
Lovely.
Yeah, but, yeah, she's there. And what's her paranormal thing? I think I met a time traveler.
It's immediately apparent what she's talking about.
Oh, fuck yeah. And she's finally come to the conclusion that that young man who talked to her grandmother about her art and made her really praised it, for only person really to ever praise it and then vanished, was Alan. And he hasn't aged a fucking day. So her immediate thought process, oh my god, he traveled through time!
She also pointed out the fact that when they first met, Fumi apparently immediately fell in love with him.
Yeah.
Which also, I think, contributes to why she consistently gave him free food.
Probably. But, and she's like, and they were just like, oh my god, a time traveler? That's me. And then she shows the earring she found that was left behind, and it's Alan's.
And then busts out a sketch
that Fumi drew when she was younger, and it's very much Alan.
Although the drawing itself is hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my, hey, yeah, no, that's Alan. It's definitely Alan. And they proceed to spend the rest of the episode talking to Harumi about Alan and
his history. Shit
that has happened in the show and their feelings about their friend who has gone off to the Ganma world to fix his own world now that he has helped save Earth.
He's going to fix the Ganma world. Cut to shot of him wearing Fumi's clothes, selling takoyaki in the Ganma world.
And I'm sitting there just like, dude, don't you have a fucking world to run?
And he's just like, I'll wait for the Spectre movie.
Right?
But yeah, apparently Alan himself did some drawings. Which are all of blue skies. Yeah,
all paintings of the sky.
Because his world didn't have those.
Yeah. And they explain that to Harumi too, which he's like, why are they all of the sky? His world doesn't have a blue sky. Everything's kind of dull and single colored.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I just love how they talk about this, like, this apparently one really memorable battle of Ghost Spectre and Necrom fighting random Ganma mooks.
That never happened in the show.
In what looks like a studio in the Ganma world, which yes, never happened and doesn't appear to have any significance, but apparently Necron will always remember that one battle.
Right.
Where we fought together.
Yeah, just in this random fucking place fighting a bunch of mooks. I'm like, what?
Okay. Yeah.
And Alan's nowhere to be seen this episode, really, until the ending, because it's not about it. Well, it's about him, but he's not present. He's in the Gon Mor.
I'll never forget our greatest fight, getting our asses kicked by Genmu.
And then years later...
there's Harumi's sin in their painting. She established to Akari and Takeru that her dream has come true. She's going to have an art exhibit. Her paintings are being shown in a gallery, and it's going to be amazing. And so years later, we get this shot of slightly older Harumi still painting, and panning shot, and it's like, yeah, Alan's gonna be standing there.
Alan's there.
Sure fuck enough, there is Alan.
Although they dragged that out.
Yeah.
They dragged that out a little longer than they should have.
Yeah.
But yes, Alan shows up.
Yeah, standing there, and it's just like, okay, are they gonna go full circle on this and have him show up and have the two of them be a thing?
Which would be really weird, because it's like, hey, yeah, your grandma was into me.
Yeah.
And then out of the right shot...
Yeah, out of the right of the shot comes Harumi's husband at carrying their child.
Yep.
And it's like, oh.
Whoops.
And I'm sitting there like, oh, you're too late.
No, and you just see Alan like...
Oh, you waited too long.
You just see Alan.
And Alan, like, almost like, oh, okay, so that's what's going on. Oh, it's that marriage thing Takeru told me.
No,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I see.
No,
yeah.
For me, it was just like Alan's just doing the smile, and he's like, oh, God, don't turn around. Don't turn around.
Yeah, right?
Awkward.
And then, sure enough, a woman walks up behind him and is like, Alan-sama, come on, let's go. It's canon.
In, like, Arya's dress.
Right? And
like,
it's just like, and they go off hand in hand together. It's like, oh, okay, so that actually did happen.
It was canon.
Right?
Alan did hook up with canon.
Well, canon was in this. It's canon.
Must be slightly weird for Makoto now that it's like, yeah. Oh, man,
banging
I know you're
my
best
sister.
Friend and all, but you're banging my sister.
Which is funny because Canon probably still calls him Alan-sama.
Right? He's probably into that.
Yeah, like you're wondering why the whole show, I'm like he's not Prince anymore. Why is Canon still calling him Alan-sama?
It's a term of respect.
No, I know.
It should be Alan-o-sama because now he's king of the Gamma.
Well, that.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, now I don't think she needs to go that far if she's his queen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point. Good point.
Yeah.
Canon is queen of the Ganma!
Right?
That's a weird fact to process.
Right?
He went from accidentally going into the Ganma world through a fucking accident to
being the queen
of the said world you got sucked into.
To fucking on purpose instead of a fucking accident.
Let me just say
ow.
That. From fucking on purpose to fucking an accident.
No, because you said from a fucking accident and it ends up as fucking on purpose.
Right?
Jokes are funny when I explain them!
Right? Yeah, no, I know we were calling Canon and Alan, like, the entire series. But
yeah.
But, yeah, no, okay, good to know that actually happened.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for some closure on the one thing in this show that I kind of semi-gave a shit about.
All right, so that's about it for Ghosts until the Spectre movie happens.
But honestly, in terms of these Alan specials, I enjoyed all four of them.
We got more in-depth into
Alan's character, which we fucking needed, because at the end of Ghost, they just tossed him aside as a character, and that was fucking bullshit.
He did next to nothing at the end of the series, so this was a nice little addition to his character.
Yeah. Necrom and Alan remain best character in show, followed closely by Onari.
Oh, God. if that's our runner up, that speaks volumes about that.
Absolutely.
Shit. Anyways,
that's the show.
All right,
thank you guys very much for listening.
We went over an hour, just the three of us. So good job.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's shorter than usual, but that's because we have less people. But I think we did pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us in the comments what you thought.
See, we're doing it again. We're doing the same exact same thing we did with Guy. And the show is so good that we're talking about more and more.
Like, yeah.
Fuck. Why isn't Paul here? Paul should start watching X-Men and come back on this fucking show. I'd love to hear what his thoughts are on this fucking show.
Yeah.
I'm gonna talk to him about that.
All right. So, everyone listening, watching, thank you very much for joining us for another episode. As usual, you can find the primary source of our hijinks at castranger.podbean.com. Please check out the Cast Ranger Facebook page for memes on the reg posted. I've actually taken a pretty active role in posting on the Facebook page myself lately.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much good shit out there.
Yep.
Please also tweet at us at Ixie Studios. And please consider, or please take a look at our Patreon and consider donating to help us make the show better for you.
Yep.
That's about it for this week. We will see you next week.
Gamma's dead, you guys!
I choose to not press X.
Fuck you. Goodbye, everybody.
This episode of Cast Ranger has been brought to you by the glorious donations of our cast patrons, Oliver Nilsson, Joel Maroney, and Chris Laird. Thanks very much.